Our reading for the second Sunday of Easter is read by Beverly Gray, and then Ian Jennings will speak to us. Ian Jennings, our associate minister.
The reading is taken from John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
Hello. Have you ever missed something really important? Have you ever been in a situation where friends or relatives have said to you, "Oh, you really should have been there. It was amazing. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. And it was an awesome moment." And you feel some measure of jealousy, maybe, and resentment also. I remember once when I was the chaplain to the Mothers Union in the Diocese of Sheffield, going to a conference that was held in central London. I stayed in Mary Somerville House, and the conference was fairly intense, fairly full programme. But on the second day in the afternoon, the Bishop of Bedford was the speaker. But also on that same afternoon, Nelson Mandela was addressing a crowd in Trafalgar Square, just around the corner. And I was tempted to go and hear him, but I thought, oh gosh, I'm being sent here by the Mothers Union and they're paying my expenses. I'd better, stick with it and listen to the Bishop of Bedford, which I did dutifully. At tea time afterwards, I was sitting next to a chap who said to me, "So what did you think of this afternoon?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, it was a good afternoon." "And what did you think of?" "Oh," I said, "it was awesome to stand there and hear Nelson Mandela speaking. It was just an amazing moment." And I said, "What, you didn't hear the Bishop of Bedford?" "No, no, no, no," he said. "No, I didn't." He said, I wouldn't miss this chance. There's only one chance in a lifetime that it'll never happen again. Here he is, a very old man speaking in Trafalgar Square. Of course I'm not going to miss that." I kicked myself and thought, oh dear, that's what I should have done. Actually, oddly enough, a few weeks later, I was at another Mothers Union event and the speaker again was the Bishop of Bedford, and he delivered the same talk that he delivered on that occasion when I failed to go and hear Nelson Mandela. So it was a matter of regret and still remains a matter of regret. And I think Thomas felt that way that day when the disciples said to him, "Oh, you have missed something amazing. You should have been here. Whatever were you doing to miss it? It was an awesome moment. Jesus is alive. He has conquered death. He is risen from the dead." And Thomas, I think, was both jealous, resentful, and unbelieving. And he came out with that statement, well, unless I put my finger into the nail wound and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He dug his heels in. I'm sure he could see that what had happened to the disciples had utterly changed them. They were no longer defeated. They were no longer dispirited and downcast. They were full of hope. They were full of optimism. They had a new positivity and no more fear, but a real sense of purpose that had changed them fundamentally. So Thomas knew that something remarkable had happened, but he dug his heels in and said, I want proof. I'm not going to believe unless I have the proof. They'd all been doubters, and it wasn't until they saw the Lord that they truly believed, but Thomas articulated his doubt so clearly and so fiercely. I will not believe unless I touch his nail wounds, unless I put my hand into his wounded side. I will not believe. And then, of course, a week later, Jesus stands amongst them again and calls Thomas to touch his nail wounds, to thrust his hand into his side, and says to him, Thomas, do not doubt, but believe. Thomas falls upon his knees in the presence of Jesus and exclaims, my Lord and my God. It was an amazing confession, and it was a wonderful proclamation. My Lord and my God. Suddenly he knew in the deep sense, the deep center of his heart, that everything was changed, that death was defeated, that Christ was risen. And he was changed fundamentally. In fact, one writer said that Thomas reached out and touched the wounds of Christ and then spent the rest of his life touching the wounds of the world in the name of Christ. He was transformed by that encounter and by all the subsequent events through the Holy Spirit enabling them to proclaim the good news of Christ's resurrection. Then Jesus said, you have seen and have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Well, that includes us, doesn't it, today? It includes us who have not seen. We have not touched his nail wounds. We have not put our hand into his side, but we believe. We believe because, like Thomas, we have had an encounter with the risen Lord and my God. And he enables us to see a new future, a new vision, so that we are not a people who are defeated. And in the light of this coronavirus, we really need that sense of the triumph of Christ over death, that we are an Easter people who live in the light of Christ's resurrection. And amidst all the sense of pain and distress that we see around us, and understandably and justifiably so, there remains that deep reality of the hope of resurrection that fills our hearts so that we can respond to the Easter greeting with joy. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's how we will come through this present crisis, because knowing in the deep center of our hearts that death is defeated and Christ is risen changes everything. My Lord and my God. Amen. And may God bless you today and in the coming days.